Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also gather on Mondays at 7 p.m. Find out more at BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we come today to part two of what we're calling Important Passages to Know and Live for Pastors, Teachers, and All Believers. Let me begin today with an important reality. We were, past tense, we were dead in our sins and facing a horrible eternity. Every single one of us, that is what the Bible teaches, but now God has made us alive in Jesus Christ. That takes us back then to last week for a moment. We took a look at the very Word of God, saying that the Bible is the Word of God, the Bible is without error, the Bible is eternal, the Bible has many benefits. And then we came to the bad news, the sad reality that we are sinners and that we cannot save ourselves. And then we came to the good news that Jesus has done everything in order to save us. And of course, it's very essential that we receive the benefits of what he has done. And then finally, at the end of last week, we talked about this right attitude of our hearts. God is calling us to be humble, to be contrite of spirit, and to tremble at his word. So going back to today now, here we are alive in Christ. So what does that mean? That means that we are now free from the condemning power of sin. And that is great, great news. But are we free, though? We are free from the power of sin, but are we free to kind of do now whatever we want? God wants us to know that that is not so. So in the passages we're going to take a look at today, and a little bit in the ones we looked at last week, God wants us to know that in his word, he is giving us instruction in how to function as ones who are free from sin, who are heaven-bound, who are the very children of God. God wants us to function in such a way that he is honored in our lives, and we are also blessed. So first of all, coming to what I'm calling Section 7 of the brochure, we're focusing now on our accountability to God. In this part, the first couple verses, we're focusing on everyone. And then in the second part of Section 7, I'm going to focus on basically pastors and Bible teachers. So first of all, as we go to Acts chapter 24, going to verses 15 and 16, understand here in this section of the Bible that Paul was on trial and his accusers were saying against him that he is stirring up riots among all the Jews throughout the world. So that was the charge against Paul. And then Paul had an opportunity to be able to defend himself. So what he did is he denied those charges. He said those charges are not true. Getting to the verse, it says, there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Do you see what I'm talking about? If Paul is aware that one day he's going to die, later on he's going to be raised to life, and he's going to stand before God and give an account to God of his life. So aware of that situation, back here, Paul is trying to do everything to function in a way that would honor God and be right in the sight of man, so that when he comes to stand before God, he's not going to have to do so in such a way where he would be ashamed. So the people are accusing him of stirring things up in a sinful way, and Paul is saying, There's no way I would do that because I know this day is coming out here and I'm functioning here in such a way that I will be okay when it comes here. I'm going to stand before God in a way that I am not ashamed. God wants us to think about what is coming and to function here in a way that would honor Him. We have a similar passage there in Romans chapter 14. Each one of us shall give account of himself to God. So again, the same kind of a message, that day of accountability is coming. So because we know that it's coming, God is calling us to function now in such a way, again, that would honor Him, that would be good and right in the sight of all people. And then coming to the second part here of section 7, now we're focusing on pastors and also on Bible teachers. I want you to understand as the members of Bethlehem that these are passages here that have a great influence on my life, and very much they're guiding my work, my preaching, my teaching, my interaction with others. So let's see what they say. First of all, coming to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul is describing his ministry among the Christians in Thessalonica. So he wrote, "We speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts." As I think about that passage, I believe that God has called me here to Bethlehem Lutheran Church to serve as a pastor, and I want you to know that my first priority in serving here as a pastor is to please God. He's the one who has called me. He's the one who has placed me here. So my first priority is to please Him. But I believe that in pleasing God, I believe that is how each of you will ultimately be blessed. So please pray for me that in all that I do, that will be pleasing to God. And I think the greatest blessings then would also then come to you. And then going on to James chapter 3, verse 1, notice what James wrote here. "Not many of you should become teachers," that would be Bible teachers, "my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Why would that be? If you're a teacher, that means you have some students. So if you're teaching, you have an opportunity to rightly teach to your students, and that can be of benefit to them. Or as a teacher, you have an opportunity to wrongly teach your students, and that can be to their harm. Well, God wants those who teach His Word to take it very seriously. So what does the Bible tell us? People who teach the Word of God, they will be judged with a greater strictness. So an individual can influence another individual. Sometimes as a pastor, I have opportunity to influence more than one individual. So because I have greater opportunity to influence, then the judgment will also be greater. It will be more strict. Well, thinking about that, that takes me to the passage in Galatians chapter 1. Consider here what Paul wrote to the Christians living in Galatia. "If anyone is preaching, thus teaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let him be accursed." In some translations, "let him be anathema." What does that mean? That is saying, let such a person who is wrongly teaching this book, let him be separated from Christ. Let him be eternally condemned. So it is a very serious matter to wrongly teach the Word of God. As I think about that topic, as I think about God judging me more strictly, I try to judge myself more strictly by trying to do the very best I can to understand and to share the Word of God with you. Am I perfect? I'm not. If I'm going down a wrong path, please come and let's talk about it. But I'm really trying to do the best I can because I believe that someday I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account. So when it comes to the Word of God, I want to teach what the Bible says, not more, and also not less. Let's go on to the next verse here in this section. So coming to the final chapter of the book of Hebrews, this chapter is filled with all kinds of God-pleasing advice. And then coming to the words in verse 17, these words are directed to church members. So each of you should especially take these to heart. It says in verse 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." So I would encourage you to think that through and think about what it means for you. But I'm not really focusing on that now, though. I think you should do that. But what I'm focusing on here for myself is that my job is to keep watch over your souls. That is also stated in there. And then I might say, well, dear God, how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to keep watch over people's souls? And that takes me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." So those are the ways in which I'm supposed to bring the word of God to people. And when I do that in a careful way, I'm doing my part to watch over your souls. But please understand, though, that you also have a part. So my part is to bring the word of God in a right way, in an understandable way, reproving, rebuking, exhorting. Those are important words. And then your part would be to gather, hear, understand, believe, and apply God's holy word. And I believe that when you do such things, my ministry will be a joy and you will be blessed. So it's a win-win situation. So a very important verse in the Bible when it comes to the pastor-parishioner relationship. I encourage you to take a closer look at that on your own. And then coming to section 8, I say, some ways we live as believers. So sometimes life can get so complicated, can it, here in the 21st century? But if you look at the context here in Micah chapter 6, people were basically saying to God, should we do this and should we do that? And God, are you wanting us to go to these huge extremes in our lives in order to honor you? And then coming to verse 8, it kind of simplifies the whole thing. And it simply says, he has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So life doesn't have to be complicated. Think about those three things. What does that mean? Well, to do what is right means to do what agrees with the Bible. To show kindness to others, sometimes that's not so easy, but let's think about the great kindness that God has shown to us, and may what God has done for us move us to show great kindness to others, to all others, whether they are kind to us or not. And then finally, this idea of humbly walking with your God, I believe that means to humbly follow God's will for our lives, knowing that he has a plan for us and knowing that whatever his will is, that is the best thing, even when it doesn't make sense. And then going on to the passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Notice what it says, "But flee from these things, you man of God." So here is Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor, calling him a man of God. So you might say, well, that doesn't apply to me then because I'm not a pastor. Well, I think we can really apply these words to all of us, even though Paul is addressing them to Timothy, who was a young pastor. Let's take it in that manner. So again, it says, "But flee from these things." What things is he talking about? You have to go back and look at the context. But one of the key things in verse 10, right before verse 11, is this idea of the love of money. So the love of money is a very prominent thing here in the 21st century. And yet Paul is saying to Timothy, flee from these things. And one of the main things would be from the love of money. So Paul is saying, Timothy, run away from certain things and then pursue certain things. So what did he say to pursue? He said to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So how can we think about those? How do we pursue righteousness? By ever trusting in Jesus as our Savior, never in ourselves. How do we pursue godliness? By imitating God, by getting to know God better, and by doing what God does. How do we pursue faith? That would be by going God's way, even when it doesn't make sense. We walk by faith, not by sight. How do we pursue love? That would be by paying attention to other people, seeing what they need, and then taking action according to their needs. How do we pursue perseverance? By never giving up on God and His Word, no matter what. Sometimes life isn't going to be what we would hope it would be. And sometimes people get this idea and they would say, well, if I'm trusting in God, if I'm following His Word, then life should always go my way. Is that always going to happen? No. God's Word doesn't teach that. God says difficulties will come to everyone, but God says for those who trust in me, I will carry them through. So God is saying to us, persevere even when life is difficult, even when you can't understand it, don't give up. And finally, how do you pursue gentleness? I believe that means to be considerate of all other people. So sometimes we have to try to put ourselves in the shoes of other people and try to think, boy, what's going on in their lives? What are they thinking? What's important to them? Rather than simply think that our way is always the best. We're not saying to change what is true. We're always sticking with the truth of the Bible, but at the same time, we're trying to be considerate of all other people in a God-pleasing way. And then finally, coming to the last part for today, we come to section 9, and I say an important order. So we find ourselves in the book of Ezra in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verse 10, and it says, for Ezra had set his heart. So notice we have really four things in a row, even though we could focus on three. Thought number one is just not going to work. So it says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. So notice the order then. You have to set before you can study. You have to study before you can practice. You have to practice before you can teach. Very important. If you try to vary that order, it is not going to work out. Let me give you a couple examples. If people study the Bible without having their hearts set on receiving the blessings of God, they're not going to benefit. They're going to sit there and read it and study it, and they're going to get nothing out of it. God wants us to know, as we go to His Word, it is something very important. It's something He wants to give to us in order to bless us. So when we go with our hearts set in the right way, God is going to give us wonderful blessings from His Word. And if our heart is not set in that way, we can read the whole thing, and it's just not going to matter. Here's another example. Those who teach the Word of God without having first put it into practice, they're going to be like a person who's trying to peddle or to sell a product without even being familiar with the product they're trying to sell. Have you ever found that situation? Maybe you went to buy a car, or maybe you were in a store and you had a question, and the person just doesn't have any idea about the product. And you're thinking, wow, this is like embarrassing even to me that this salesperson doesn't even know what he or she is trying to sell. God does not want us to be that way. He wants us rather, when we think about teaching, when we think about passing the word of God onto somebody else, we should have set our heart, we should have dug in and studied. As we're studying it, God is showing us how it applies to our lives, and then we make the application by putting it into practice, and we kind of find out, oh, that's how it works. Have you ever had a situation where you read about it, and then when you actually did it, it was like, oh, I didn't quite know it would be that way, but now that I'm actually putting it into practice, it's a little bit different than what I read. But now I have the true experience of what it means to actually take that thing and to do it. So God wants us to go through that process, and then we are ready finally to be able to teach it, to be able to share it with others. So when I say all of that, are we talking about simply people like myself who are teachers and some of the rest of you who are teachers, or are we talking about everybody? Well, God wants us to know that teaching the Word of God is really something all of us are doing as Christians, even as individual Christians, as we are living for Christ. What did Jesus say that we do? We are called to shine the light of Christ. When we're shining the light of Christ, that means that we know Him. That means that we are practicing what the Word of God says. And as we do that, whether we have a formal teaching situation or not, really we are teaching others what it means to be a child of God. So we want to show the proper teaching. We want to show the proper light. So that means we have to follow the steps of setting, studying, practicing, and teaching. Very important to follow those steps. May God help us to go through life always desiring to benefit from the Bible, always taking the time to study it, always living that Word of God, and even taking every opportunity God gives us to share His precious Word with others. And all God's people said, Amen. Before we continue here, I want to touch on what I put in the service folder there about some ways to apply today's sermon. I invite you to remember that a day is coming when we must give an account of ourselves to God. So let us live now in such a way that when that day comes, we're not going to be ashamed. It doesn't mean that we're without sin, but it means we're going to be able to stand before God and say, Dear God, I know I've fallen short many times, but you also know that sincerely I tried to do my best to honor you in my life. And then number two here, what's another way to make application today? Well, that would be to do your part responsibly by faithfully gathering to hear, understand, believe, and apply God's word. And then finally, you can see with practicing this order of set, study, practice, teach. Teachers, we should be faithful in doing that. Don't try to teach something that you have not in advance studied and put into practice. Parents, the Bible does not say that the church is responsible to teach children. The Bible makes it very clear that parents have the responsibility of teaching their children. And that hasn't been the model over the last number of decades. The model has been, parents, you bring your kids and we will teach them. That is not a biblical model, and it has not worked out very well. That's why in a lot of cases, the younger people have not stuck with the church, because there's been a model followed that is not in agreement with God's word, and it has not worked out well. And then one final thing here, if we go to letter C, I want to encourage you to attend a Bible class every week. We have a number of Bible classes here at Bethlehem, so I encourage you to attend one every week. That's an important part of being a Christian. And then I would also challenge each of you once a month to contact our child care director, schedule a time, and come in and take 10 minutes and read a Bible story to the children in one class. A very simple thing. But God wants us to be involved in those kinds of things. He wants us to function as who we are, the forgiven children of God in Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. There are many ways to easily connect with us. Visit our website, benefitfromthebible.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Search for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook. Search for Bethlehem Lutheran Church, Parma. Join us for divine service or Bible class. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. We invite your prayers for this Bible ministry. Pray that God will enable many people to know His word of truth, be set free from their sins, and live for Jesus Christ. For past programs, go to benefitfromthebible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.